It's obvious there's some tension between Mac Jones and Bill Belichick, but is it enough to trade him? Probably not. You're about to be locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast.
You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all of you Foxborough faithful. Thank you once again for making Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage. Subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episode as soon as it's available. I'm your host, Mike DeBate. I cover your New England Patriots for Patriots Country of Sports Illustrated, so reach out to me and let me know what's on your mind on Twitter at MDABATENFL. And while you're out there, showing some love to the Twitterverse, please be sure to follow the Locked On Patriots account as well at LO_Patriots. Pats fans, thank you. Once again, some video difficulty the last couple of days. You may have noticed a little bit of a lag. We are fixing that, but it was not enough to keep us away from bringing you the very latest here on Locked On Patriots. And folks, as you can see on the screen, it's never a good sign when a team's pre-draft narrative isn't about prospective draft picks, but rather rumors about the starting quarterback's rift with the head coach and the possibility of a new one's arrival on the horizon. Those were the rumors we were treated to here on a Tuesday morning. But such is life these days with the New England Patriots. The Lamar Jackson rumors continue to swirl, and we continue to hear more on the potential divide between Bill Belichick and Mac Jones. That one seems to be growing by the day. And Tuesday morning, it was Pro Football Talk throwing fuel on the fire, citing a source that claims Belichick has actually been calling multiple teams shopping Jones in a trade. And the potential suitors include the Las Vegas Raiders, the Houston Texans, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, talk about the irony from that one, folks, and the Washington Commanders. Now, obviously, a trade hasn't occurred yet. This is exactly what Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk wrote, but it doesn't mean it won't happen. A team hoping to draft a quarterback could pivot Jones, and if that team doesn't get the guy they want, Tux could pivot back to him. Folks, as you can imagine, this was met with mixed reaction for a lot of reasons, and I'm sure most of you know. I'm not going to get into those right now, but bottom line here, I think the narrative of Mac being traded might be a little bit over aggressive. Let's take a look at the potential suitors as Exhibit 1. The Raiders recently signed former Patriot Jimmy Garoppolo. He's going to be their starter. That's why they brought Jimmy Garoppolo into the mix. Now, that would seemingly take them out of the running for a starter unless Josh McDaniels feels that Mac is a better fit. And in that case, you might see it happen. But again, color that very unlikely, because I think the reason why they signed Jimmy to the contract they did was to bring him in to be their starting quarterback. Houston Texans, a lot of people think this has legs. Second overall pick in the upcoming draft, so that's definitely an interesting bargaining chip. I don't think the Texans are going to part with that draft pick, even for an established starter like Mac Jones. So does that leave them out of the mix? That's a possibility, because you know the Patriots are going to try to shoot for the sky and get as much as they can for a guy they spent the number 15 pick for just a couple of seasons ago. People forget that, folks. He was the number 15 pick. The Patriots invested big-time draft capital for Mac. They're not going to give him away for whatever you want to put on the plate. You can fill that in with whatever you wish. But bottom line, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we know they have a quarterback vacancy. We know Tom Brady is not going to be taking snaps under center in 2023. At least not right now, he's not. We don't know what the future holds, but I still think Tom is retired, and retired for good this time. But the Buccaneers recently signed Baker Mayfield, so they're likely still in the market for an arm, but they're not in desperate need for one. I think the Bucs may be content to run it with Baker and see how it works, but if the right opportunity comes along, they may be able to take it. So the Bucs make some sense, at least more sense to me than the Texans or the Raiders would. And the Commanders, last but not least, they have only Sam Howell on the roster. And of course, old friend and another expatriate, Jacoby Brissett. This one may actually make some sense. I could see the Washington Commanders trying to throw their hat into the ring here. But to me, the bottom line in all of this is we can talk about the hows, how he's going to get traded, what are going to be the pieces, the who's he going to go to, who might make Mac Jones their next starting quarterback. To me, that's all talk show fodder. All us fans right now and media members will continue to keep guessing like we're in some game show on that. But what this also does, folks, is it brings about the question of why. Why would the Patriots trade Mac Jones at this point? Well, we've chronicled the seemingly unraveling relationship that I spoke about just a few minutes ago between Bill Belichick and Mac Jones. And it really dates back to last season. First, there was the quarterback controversy between Jones and rookie Bailey Zappe. Again, no one is denying that Bailey Zappe came in and played very well while Mac Jones was out. But to say that there's enough evidence to appoint Zappe as being worthy of the starter's job, I think it's a little bit of a stretch. We don't see what Bill Belichick and company see in practice, so I will definitely admit that. But if you're looking on pure what we've seen on camera, on film, in-game action from Bailey Zappe, I think that if the Patriots believe that he was that much better than Mac Jones, he would have remained in the starting slot when Mac got back. If you don't believe that, go back to 2001 when Drew Bledsoe remained on the sidelines in favor of Tom Brady. Brady was a relative unknown when he took over. No one knew the type of player he was about to become. Maybe Bill Belichick saw it. Maybe Tom Brady believed it in himself and knew it in himself. But the rest of us, if we say we saw the future GOAT out there after only a couple of games, you're probably not being truthful. Bottom line, Bill Belichick is not afraid to play the best player. He's going to do it, and he's going to do it, period. Whether he's a rookie, whether he's a veteran, whatever gives Bill Belichick the opportunity to win football games, he's going to take it. And he's going to grab it with both hands. And that's exactly what the Patriots would have done last year. So I'm not buying the fact that the Patriots are seeing Bailey Zappe as the anointed starter and are ready to jettison Mac Jones. That also doesn't mean that they haven't seen enough in Bailey to convince them that he can run the offense efficiently and that the Patriots could upgrade their team by trading him. After all, Bill Belichick just last week at the NFL owners meetings offered a cryptic answer when he was asked about Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe and the Patriots quarterback situation entering the NFL draft and then beyond that into training camp. And Bill was very blunt, as he always is. He said, everybody's going to get a chance to play. We'll play the best players. That means that multiple NFL analysts are going to look at that and say, well, he's not committing to this guy. Obviously, he doesn't have confidence in Mac. Let's keep the Lamar Jackson rumors alive. Let's keep all this going. And folks, you understand why there is an uproar over this. I get it. It's a big story. And Patriots fans, media members, and everyone are going to be intrigued by the fact that Mac may be on the block. He's a polarizing player. There's no question about it. But here's the thing. The notion that the Patriots would indeed trade Mac Jones after only one down season doesn't really make much sense unless a team is willing to send the Patriots a strong return on investment. I have no doubt that there is some friction between Mac Jones and Bill Belichick, but a potential trade is not likely to bring back the kind of return that the Patriots are going to be seeking in order to make this worth their while. Lamar Jackson is the only player for which I could make a compelling argument that they would get fair, maybe even better return on investment than what they would by giving Mac away by trade. But at the same time, it's just simply not financially feasible for the Patriots. There's too much guaranteed money. Even if you're trying to make the bargaining chips for a trade work, Baltimore is not one of the teams listed as potential suitors anyway, and that really makes you file this one again under highly unlikely. So in terms of return on investment, Patriots are probably not going to be in the market. A trade would not only be surprising to me, but others really weighed in this on this as well. And I want to give a tip of the cap to Mark Daniels of Mass Live, who I think brought us all back to reality a little bit, revealing that one of his NFL sources said that they hadn't heard anything about the Patriots shopping Jones to any team this offseason, adding, quote, "That's news to me." That's interesting when you hear that. Supposedly he was on the trading block and Bill Belichick was actively making calls shopping him. But again, a source said that that's news to them. A second NFL source said the Patriots haven't contacted the Buccaneers about Jones, saying his name has, quote, never come up this offseason. And a third NFL source of Mark Daniels said the Patriots have not contacted the Raiders about a trade involving Jones either. So again, folks, take that for what you will. There's all different kinds of conflicting information out there right now. That's where we stand. In all fairness to the Pro Football Talk report, I don't think it was fabricated. Let me be very... Mike Florio is a seasoned enough pro to know that and report on what he heard, and I'm sure he feels confident in its sourcing. And I believe he did that. But how did he get here? Again, I think that really comes back to the point. How did the tension between Bill Belichick and Mac Jones lead to these types of rumors, whether they're substantiated or not? Well, we're going to take a deeper dive into that and why it's never a good idea to go against the Foxborough family business. Yeah, you're right, folks. I know you're thinking of, and that's it. I'm taking it there. We're going a little Godfather when this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. But first, folks, the men's and women's college basketball tournaments may be over, but the Built March Madness bracket is here. Now, we know you all have a favorite bar or puff, and now is your time to make it count. So go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorites. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one lucky Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You gotta try Built, folks. I keep saying it over and over again, and I mean it more each and every day. They are the best protein bar. So amazing. You won't think that they're good for you, but they are. What makes Built bars and puffs so good is that they are all high in protein, low in sugar, covered in 100% real chocolate. Folks, don't delay. Do it today. Run to Built Madness right now and vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. Don't delay. Do it today. Built.com. Patriots fans, thank you once again for taking time out of your day to join me here on Locked On Patriots, a proud part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And as the great Don Vito Corleone would say, and one actually did once tell his over-aggressive yet well-meaning son, Santino Sonny Corleone, never tell anyone outside the family what you're thinking again. I think that's very poignant here, folks, because when it comes to the relationship between New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick and quarterback Mac Jones, this quote from The Godfather may nail it. It may really bring to light everything we've been talking about today, the whole reason why Mac Jones is supposedly on the trading block. A lot of conflicting reports as to whether he is, whether he isn't, what's going on. We really don't know for sure at this point, but the report is out there that Bill Belichick is calling multiple teams, shopping Jones in a trade. That, to me, indicates a precipitating event. And that precipitating event, we happen to get a little more insight on. And it's courtesy of the original reporters on this, Pro Football Talk. During Monday's episode of PFT Live, Chris Sims of NBC Sports doubled down on a report that he had made recently that Mac was seeking help outside the organization to seek counsel on dealing with New England's several offensive changes throughout the 2022 season. And I'm quoting Chris directly here, quote, "Of course, Mac Jones must have been frustrated, and that's what he heard. I said again," quoting from Chris this time, folks, don't forget, "I said that in an earlier episode this season that he had called Alabama, his alma mater, and certain coaches saying, hey, can you give us some ideas to our coaches? Well, I mean, come on. All of us who pay attention to football, how do you think that's going to go over with New England people if they heard that was happening? I'm sure he was frustrated, but I don't know that calling Alabama, where your head coach is an ex-assistant of your head coach, was very wise. It's going to get back to the Patriots. That's where he went wrong." That's the quote from Chris Sims. Now, Mike Florio chimed in along with it, supporting that and saying that he believed that Mac was also a little miffed, used a little more colorful language, it's a family show, so I'm going to scale that back a little bit. But basically, he said that Mac didn't appreciate being, quote unquote, the guinea pig for Belichick's unrestrained hubris. I will point that out, folks. Those are not my words. Those are Mike Florio's words. But despite entering the season on the heels of really, I think, a very impressive rookie campaign, it's no shock that Jones struggled to rekindle that previous success in 2022. So, yeah, he was going to be frustrated. There's no question about it. We saw it throughout the season, displaying a lot of discomfort in New England's new offensive system under Matt Patricia and under Joe Judge. At times, that disconnect was not only palpable, but it was visible. You could see the players and the coaching staff on different pages, so overt that you could see Jones hurling expletive-laden frustrations, as I've written before, and they were in the direction of his coaches. There's no question about that, folks. Now, Jones' sideline antics were really rumored to be the precipitous between the friction, or really the source of the friction between he and Bill Belichick. And Pro Football Talk's latest cumulative report added that extra additional layer to Jones's apparent discontent by taking it beyond just simple frustration in the moment. Apparently, Jones was really deeply upset by the Patriots' reversal of fortune. Again, according to Pro Football Talk's report, to which he seemingly attributed being forced to navigate an offense run by two non-offensive-minded coaches. Well, yeah, you can see why he might be upset with that. But under the Patricia and Judge regime, the Patriots' offense did regress. Mac is not wrong in his assessment here. One that showed significant promise in 2021, where Mac finished second in the running for Offensive Rookie of the Year, to a unit that really dwelled among the NFL's bottom teams. The 2022 Pats ended the regular season seventh worst in total yards, while being ranked 22nd in points per game and 26th in yards. That's not going to cut it. That is not going to get you to the playoffs, and I think Mac Jones realized that. To their credit, I think Patricia, Judge, and Belichick realized that as well. But Mac took a statistical dip as well. It wasn't all about the high ankle sprain that he had in the early part of the season. He didn't finish with great numbers, 2,997 yards, 14 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. A lot of people believe those numbers would have been higher had Mac had a more open line of communication between the coaches and the quarterback. But again, the problem is here, like Chris Sims said, that instead of going to his Don for difficulty, he sought the wisdom and counsel outside the Foxborough family, and he should have went to Belichick on that, folks. So in turn, Bill Belichick is a little bit upset by what's going on here. That's why I think he's been reluctant to provide Mac with that vote of confidence that we've all been pushing for here in New England, anointing Mac as the starter, the unquestioned heir to the throne here in New England, so to speak. Bill Belichick has been very reticent to give him that type of job security. I think some of that is just the way Bill coaches. He's not going to give anybody anything beyond what they feel that they've earned, but there probably also is a little underlying upset feeling that is probably preventing him from maybe giving him a little bit more praise, or maybe a little bit more security than he has been. But following last season's dismal finish, Jones expressed his desire for a bit more persistence in the way he's coached. Bottom line, he said he wants to be coached harder. Those are actually Mac's words. Quote, it's accountability. It starts with me. I think I want to be coached harder. Now, this season, assuming he remains in New England, Jones is going to get his wish because, folks, if any coach in the NFL is more willing to go to the mattresses than Bill O'Brien, I don't know which one does. This is how Bill coaches. He gets in your face. He's going to tell you how you're doing, and he's not going to be shy about it. And that, I think, is going to be beneficial to Mac Jones. I think that's the whole point in the reason why Bill O'Brien was brought in. It's to make sure that Mac Jones becomes a better quarterback. He's still on a rookie deal, got a number of years left. He still has the opportunity to prove himself in this league. And the Patriots used the number 15 pick on him for a reason. They saw something in him at Alabama, and I think they believe that Bill O'Brien can extract that from him. Now, it's still unclear as to whether or not Bill was one of the coaches Mac was reaching out to. That could be a little awkward, but at the same time, if the Patriots felt that was the case, why did they hire Bill to begin with? You have to think that if that is the sticking point, that those situations or those hard feelings kind of been ironed out in Foxborough. So again, just my opinion. I'm not going on a source on that. That's just my gut reaction. But bottom line, I think one thing that we can all agree on is that Bill O'Brien's offense, in theory, is going to put Mac Jones in the best position to bounce back and really kind of rekindle some of that past success that he didn't get in 2022. O'Brien typically operates in a system that creates plays for the quarterback, in which the quarterback leads his receivers under the defense, gets the ball out quickly, delivers it accurately, and that gives the playmakers the space they need to catch and run with the football. Hi, Murph. Your yak. That's what the Patriots needed. They're bringing in guys that can do it. Juju Smith-Schuster is an incredible yak machine. He's going to go out there and give that to you. Mike Gesicki is going to be that big threat in the red zone. They're setting this offense up for Mac Jones to succeed. At least that's what it looks like on paper. And I think that's why I'm having such a hard time believing that they're going to actually trade him. But this type of offense is going to put points on the board. At least it should. But it's also going to keep Mac out ahead of the blitz, and it's going to keep him out of duress. And that is where this kid can shine and really show what he can do. If the Patriots are successful in doing it, it should make that Patriots offense a lot more efficient at the very least in 2023. But is the pairing of Jones and O'Brien enough to adequately right the offensive ship? More importantly, is it really going to keep peace in New England? Well, perhaps. But again, coming back to the Godfather, folks, it's only going to work if neither side ever takes sides with anyone against the Foxborough family again. That, to me, is where this lies. But there is a member of the Foxborough family that's going to be taking his snaps outside New England next season, and he is a former Patriots quarterback. No, folks, I'm not talking about that one. I still think he's retired for good. But one quarterback that I thought might go on record and retire as well seems to be extending his career, and he's headed for the Nevada desert. We're going to talk a little Brian Hoyer when we wrap up this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast. Patriots fans, thank you once again for joining me here on Locked On Patriots, talking all things Patriots quarterbacks, a lot of Mac Jones rumors, a lot of Bill Belichick rumors, and the rift and the trades. And folks, it's a lot to handle and a lot to keep down, really, I think, for better or lack of a better term. But we're trying to bring you as much information as we can here on Locked On Patriots. Don't forget, we'll be talking about this subject and more, including the DeAndre Hopkins rumors that we were going to get to today, folks. Haven't forgotten about those. They'll be a part of Wednesday's show when we talk about some of the Patriots' plans at wideout, whether it be draft or whether it be through the free agency or really bringing anybody in by a trade, folks. I think you can count everything on the table for the New England Patriots. Well, almost everything, because a former Pats quarterback is reuniting with an old friend in the Nevada desert, and that's going to happen in this upcoming NFL season. JL Sports, this player's representative, confirmed on Tuesday morning that he would be signing a two-year deal with Josh McDaniels and the Las Vegas Raiders. That player, quarterback Brian Hoyer. And look, Brian Hoyer, to me, is he's a guy that I've always enjoyed covering without any stretch of the imagination. There's still stuff left in the tank when it comes to Brian, and I know a lot of people are going to moan and groan about this, but I'm going to miss him here in New England. He was always a very, very easy cover. He was always forthright, always someone that was easy to talk to, and he's just an easy guy to root for. He's got a lot of roots in this area. I don't think that's going to change, but moving on to Las Vegas is definitely a good move for him, and it reunites him with Josh McDaniels without any question. Brian entered the 2022 season last year as only one of two reserve quarterbacks on the Pats roster. People forget that Bailey Zappe might have gotten a lot of the play while Mac Jones was out, but that was really supposed to be Brian Hoyer's job. He was going to get get the start against Green Bay, and you know, the jury is still out as to whether or not he would have continued to start after that. But after completing only 5 passes in the week 4 loss to the Green Bay Packers, suffered concussion and was on the shelf for the rest of the year. Now, New England's offensive struggles last season have been well documented, and Mac Jones deserves his share of the blame pie. Bill Belichick a little bit, Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, they got a heaping serving of the blame pie for that. But a lot of people forget that this was also a situation where it could have affected both Brian Hoyer and Bailey Zappe as well. Brian has been around long enough to see some really prolific Patriots offenses. Backed up Tom Brady in some of the early days of the second part of the Patriots dynasty. Guys like Rob Gronkowski, you know, Danny Amendola, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, all of these guys hanging around being a part of that Patriots offense. He also knows what a great play caller and what a good strategist Josh McDaniels is. Apparently, Brian didn't like too much what he saw last year under Patricia and Joe Judge. Now, not only did the offensive woes reportedly cause tension between Jones and Belichick, but it may have actually been the catalyst for Brian Hoyer's premature release from the team. NBC Sports Boston's Tommy Curran lent some validity to that report earlier last week when he appeared on WEI's Jones and Mego with Christian Arcan. And he basically said that Hoyer's voicing of his displeasure may have sat wrong with Bill Belichick. I'm going to quote him directly. He says, quote, Brian Hoyer was not sold on what was going on last year. And I think he let that known that Mac was up against it on a weekly basis. I think that's a large portion of the reason why Hoyer's not here. The Patriots would tell you otherwise, but they're paying him $1.4 million to not play here and not be a part of the system, even through training camp and then just release him in August when you could use him this offseason. They basically said, nope, thanks, we're all set with you. I think it's interesting. And those are Tommy Curran's exact words. It is interesting, folks, because it does lend you a little bit of confusion as to why the Patriots would release Brian now. The counterpoint to that argument is that they were trying to do him a solid, that Brian wants to play elsewhere. He wants to be a part of a team from the start of training camp, and they gave him the opportunity to go elsewhere. If that is indeed the case, then the Patriots were being benevolent. But if they were cutting him because of a little bit of, I don't know, maybe bitterness about the way he handled the situation last year, then yeah, that makes sense too. I actually think they were being more benevolent than anything else, but I always try to look at the positives on things. Sometimes to my own detriment, I understand the argument, but that is indeed where it comes down to. But bottom line, Brian Hoyer goes to the Las Vegas Raiders now, brings an amazing scout team acumen with him. I think that's where he's going to really shine with this organization. He's going to be able to navigate through coaching changes. He's also going to be able to navigate through a lot of what Raiders quarterbacks are going to see on defense, and also he's going to allow defenses to be able to have the scout team quarterbacks mimic what they're going to see on a weekly basis. Basically, bottom line, folks, Brian Hoyer can turn himself into a chameleon type quarterback to be able to mimic what you're going to see on the field. And what he can't do physically any longer, he'll make sure that the guys in the building that are indeed ready for the challenge to be able to mimic a lot of what the Raiders defense is going to see. So a win for the Raiders offense, a win for the Raiders defense, but most of all, a win for the Raiders organization because they're just getting a great guy. I wish Brian all the best and hope he does well in his continued endeavors in Las Vegas. But folks, we are just scratching the surface on everything that we will talk about here when it comes to the New England Patriots. Is Mac Jones truly remaining on the trading block? Is this a situation where it can be solved? Or will the Patriots look elsewhere for additional help for Mac Jones? Folks, these are all the questions that we're going to be talking about here as we lead up to the draft at the end of the month. So don't forget to stay locked in to Locked On Patriots. And folks, if you've made Locked On Patriots your first listen today, please make your second listen our good friends over at Locked On NFL Scouting, where my good friends, Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs, walk you through all of the ins and outs of building a franchise. That's Locked On NFL Scouting, available wherever you get podcasts and, of course, on YouTube. And while you're at it, don't forget to download, subscribe to, and follow Locked On Patriots as well. Once again, I am your host, Mike DeBate. I thank you for joining me here today, and I look forward to talking football with you again tomorrow when we reconvene here on Locked On Patriots. In the meantime, continue to stay safe, stay well, be the change you wish to see in the world. Have a great evening, everyone.